Good morning, everyone. Boy, it's great to see everyone out here this morning at Thomas Village Baptist Church. We've got a really good-looking crowd here. And I want to welcome those out there in Facebook land and out there in the parking lot and listen to 88.1 on the FM. And like I said, just so glad you're with us. We're going to sing a song to the Lord this morning. We'll start off number 516, When the Roll is Called Up Yonder.
It's good to see you this morning. We'll be in the book of John chapter 15, and at this time some people are going to be coming around with a little bit of the study guide to go with this morning's and some message. And if you don't want one, just tell them, I don't want one. All right? God bless you. Brother Scott.
Good morning. Welcome to Thomas Village Baptist Church, and we're thankful you came out to worship with us. Thankful for the rain we've got. And way of announcements, we have a church council meeting tonight after evening service. We have a deacons meeting on Tuesday at 6. Prayer study Wednesday at 6. And vacation Bible school next Saturday from 10 to 2. And we'd like to see everyone out. There'll be something for everybody. We're trying to get 500 shoeboxes for Samaritan's Purse, and sowing bees, are they still meeting? Okay, so they won't be meeting at 9 a.m.
Also, the WMT, what day is that, sister?
August 14th.
August 14th.
At noon.
Okay. And then August the 3rd, there will be a children's evangelism class at Gate City, and Brother Darrell Fletcher will tell us more about it.
The evangelism class. Come on up here, get behind the thing. Say,
yes,
say hey to everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Scott.
Tuesday, 6 o'clock, Crossroads Ministry Center, which is across the street from Hardy's. They're in Gate City, and Powell's are close by. We have individuals that are coming from Richmond to talk about youth evangelism. Children, mainly, is what we're looking toward. If you wait till they get to be 16, 17 years old, the possibility of that individual coming to know Christ drops drastically. So it's very important that we get our children integrated within the church and to get to where they are under the gospel, to where they can be saved. We need people to come be a part of that. 6 o'clock Tuesday. No cost to it. We'll have some snacks there if you're coming straight from work. Won't be a problem. But we need to have people from every church to be there to be a part of that, so we can help turn those figures around in our community and in our association.
Thank you. And we've already got two to three that's committed, so either show up there, like he said, or you can meet here, and we'll be leaving here at 5:30, okay? God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor. God bless you. Good to see you.
Remember the sign-up sheets for the commitment to Shire 30 on Facebook. And we have a Tuesday morning prayer at 11 a.m. And I think that takes care of the announcements. Remember to look at the bulletin for ongoing things. Let's remember each other. Remember those on our prayer list. And remember those that are lost and those that have lost loved ones. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for each one that's watching and their families, and pray that your blessings will be with them. We thank you for your love and mercy and grace and your Son Jesus most of all. Father, we thank you for what he did, does, and will do for us if we'll just let him. Father, pray that your healing hand touch and bless those on the prayer list in a way that only you can. Pray that your blessings will be with Pastor Brian as he brings your message. And Father, I pray that we will apply it to our lives, and pray that you will be with the lost and that they will know your Son Jesus. In his name we do pray. Amen.
Y'all done such a good job that first time, we're going to sing another one. Number 519, Face to Face with My Christ and Savior. 519, let's all stand and sing.
Thank you.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
We covet your prayers, as you can see. Our group of nine is down to four. It hurts us when our brother and our sisters aren't with us, and we know it's because of some health issues, and but we still felt led to try in some way just to bring a word of praise through song. So we ask for your prayers.
Our song is I Will Rise. It's from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord.
There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain.
Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won.
Sister Nancy praying, and then y'all joining in with that. We're so thankful that you're here, and I believe you're ready to worship. If you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of John chapter 5. And just in case you haven't heard this week, whether you're here with us for the 100th time, the first time, or maybe you're watching by Facebook or you're in the parking lot as you're turning to John 15, I want to remind you that nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll let Him today, if you'll open up your life to Him today, He'll do even greater things than you can ever imagine. Amen? Also, if you're visiting with us for the first time today, it is a privilege to have you here. And inside of your bulletin, you'll find a little tear-out sheet. If nothing else, we ask for you to put your name on that. And if you're willing, please put a place where we can get a hold of you, if it's just a text or a email, because it is a privilege having you here with us today, and we don't take it lightly that God has brought you here and that you in obedience have come here. And we pray that if you don't remember anything else, you remember that nobody loves you like Jesus. Also, we do want to be in prayer for Brother Wayne as you're turning to John 15 this morning. He's having some physical issues and is at the hospital today. And then again, if you want to go to the evangelism class, be here at 5:30. If not, call me and we'll remind you. But it's there across from Hardy's, I believe it was, that Brother Darrell said. And then next Saturday, VBS. I heard some people talking about they're ready for some things to get back going and being able to do things with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, this Saturday is our kickoff back to the community. And even if you don't hold a position, you ought to be here in support of VBS and us being once again able to minister to those that God has called us to minister to. And that's that we're to make a difference on the outside of this church. We are His body, and we make up His body, and it takes us, or He has given us the privilege of being able to minister to the ones that's around us. And then also, as you're turning to John chapter 15, I don't think it would be proper if I did not recognize the loss that not only Chet Wheeler and their family experienced, but also Thomas Village Baptist Church, as Sister Margaret Wheeler went home to be with Jesus on Monday early that morning. And I've talked with Brother Chet, and he's learning how to live in a new reality, in a new situation. But he is trusting in the Lord, and he knows where she's at. And if you knew Sister Margaret loved Jesus, and she always wanted you to know she loved Jesus. He said before anybody would ever leave, doctor or therapy or whatever, before they would ever leave the house, she would pray with them. And then also, she had a way of making you feel special when you were with her. She had a way of making you feel like you were important. And praise God, she fought the battle for almost 6 years with cancer. And but the day that she went home to be with the Lord, brother, and I'm doing this with the blessing of Brother Chet, who asked me to tell it to as many as I could, that she had basically kindly been comatose up until about Thursday of the week before. And that morning he went in there, and her breathing was a bit labored, and he bent down and he kissed her on the forehead and says, "It's okay to go home to Jesus." And in that moment she did, and he just knows that that was an answer to his prayer and a comfort to him. But glory to God, the reality that we just sang about, she's hearing the voices of many angels crying, "Worthy in the Lamb." And not only is she hearing it, but she is joining in with it. I say that the first couple of minutes while we're in eternity is probably years upon years down here, because I think it takes people a while to come to themselves and realize, "I am truly in the presence of my Redeemer. I am truly with Him." Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? And we're thankful that God allowed Sister Margaret to pass through Thomas Village Baptist Church and through our lives. But we're even more thankful that the day that we see her again, we'll see him again and never more to be separated. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? That's wonderful. All right. If I had a title for this morning's message here in John chapter 15, we're going to be picking up in verse 9. And you could say that this morning is going to be a topical sermon. But I hope that you've been given the paper that I handed out. And I don't know who I think I am. I don't have much learning. But I do have been told if you hear it, write it, and say it, then you remember it better. So then I'm trying different ways to make sure that we can remember the Word of God. So stand with me this morning, and I pray that through the power of the Holy Spirit, you will answer this question. Do I love Jesus? Do I love Jesus? John chapter 15, beginning in verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatever I command. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the wonderful, wonderful singing this morning. And Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that as good as it sounded down here, I pray that it sounded that way in your ears and even better. And God, I ask you to forgive me of my sins because I want everything about this service, Lord, to be able to be received by you. And Lord, I praise you today, Heavenly Father, Lord, for people like Sister Margaret that has helped make this church what it is. But God, without the power of the Holy Spirit and without the truth of God's Word, then Lord, it's all vain and useless. And so, Heavenly Father, Lord, today I invite you to do what you would do through your Word. I pray we'd be reminded, Heavenly Father, Lord, that the altar is always open. And God, that today we will leave here better knowing you than we did when we come in, and better serving you than we did when we come in. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Also, we want to pray for Josh Lester and his wife this morning. As I was sitting down this week, I'm going to ask you a question, and most of you ought to know this one. Matter of fact, most of you know it because it's taped down up here. But if we had a motto, since I've been pastor here at Thomas Village Baptist Church, what would you say that that motto is? If always remember, nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll let him, he'll do even greater things than you were ever imagined. And that is based on scripture like we find here in verse 13 and over in the book of 1 John, where we're told that we love him because he first loved us. And here in Gospel of John chapter 15, verse 13, we're told that greater love hath no man than to lay down his life for a friend. And I got to thinking this week, and I've been thinking before, but do you realize that when people come to church here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, they don't come here to hear my opinions. They don't come here to hear how I feel. They don't come here to hear me complain. They don't come here for me to be the center of attention. Amen? You know what? The same's true for you. When people come here, they don't come here to hear your complaints. They don't come here to hear your suggestions. They don't come here to hear how you feel. They come here to hear the Word of Jesus Christ. They come here to worship the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the glory of the Father. And they're here to be loved by Jesus Christ through the people of Jesus Christ. Amen? And that's just the truth. When people come here for the first time, I want them to know that they are loved, if nothing else. I want them to be overrun by people just letting them know how good it is to have you here. When people come that are lost, I pray that they not feel comfortable, but I pray they feel love. I pray they feel conviction. I pray those that are burdened down and beat down, that when they come in here, they feel the joy of the Lord and uplifting of the Lord. I feel that those that are young and not very aware in the Lord, that they come in here and feel love and feel the place where they can grow in the Lord. I even pray for the old dried up, scrubbed up 40-year Christian that's cranky and all that, that when they come in here, the power of love through the person of the Holy Spirit be so great that it just break their heart and they just fall back in love with Jesus Christ. But the number one thing I want them to know is that Jesus loves them like no one else has ever loved them, and He loves you a way that you can only imagine that He loves you. And you know, we can do a lot of ministries around here, and I'm looking forward to our ministries beginning again. I'm looking forward, and you ought to be expecting phone calls saying, you ready to get back to work? Wherever you were before, there's phone calls going out to say, all right, it's time. But if we're going to be that church, if we're going to be that place where when people come, they feel the person and the presence of the Holy Spirit, they feel the love of Jesus here. If we're going to be that church, then we better routinely ask ourselves this. The only way that we can love others the way that Jesus loves them is if we love Jesus the way He deserves to be loved. When's the last time you've asked yourself this question, do I love Jesus? You can do a lot of stuff, and we can do a lot of ministries, but you know what? A lot of people on a Baptist roll holding positions in the church will bust hell wide open for one reason and one reason only, because they were not in love with Jesus. The Bible tells us again, nobody loves us like Jesus. That while we were sinners, God demonstrated His love by having Jesus die on the cross. Sadly, I'd say that many of us have never asked ourselves the question, how much do I love Jesus? We do it like our marriage sometimes. You know, everything in life takes effort. How much effort have you put into your house to have a fine house? How much effort have you put into your job to be good at your job? How much effort have you put in your children so that they turn out to be good children? It's hours, isn't it? You've put hours into that. Let me ask you, how many hours have you put in your marriage just to make your marriage better? That ought to break our hearts right there. But how much time do we put into the love that we have for Jesus? How much time? So today I just pray. Some of you has read those magazines, you know, where they do a quiz. And it's a self-help quiz, and you, at the end of it, you count up the numbers, and then wherever your number's at, you fall into such and such category. Well, today, that's what I've got here. It's just a kind of a little bit of a check quiz, and at the end of it, you either answer yes or no, or yourself 1 through 10, and then when you're done, I'm going to grade it. Didn't your stomach just fall to your heart for just a second when I said that, or your heart fell to your stomach? No, this is for personal recognition. But see, this passage that we're reading this morning, as we ask ourselves, how much do I love Jesus? Or do I love Jesus? It comes from the passage where Jesus only has a few hours left as a free man. He's heading to the cross. As a matter of fact, it begins in the upper room, and there in verse 14, He breaks the news that, guess what, I'm going away, boys. And you remember He says, and Thomas was like, well, where are you going? And Jesus was like, in My Father's house there's many mansions. I'm going to build you one. You're going to live in My community forever. I love you that much. And then He gets down to this point, and He begins to talk about Him being the vine, God the Father being the vine dresser, and we, authentic Christians, true believers, we are the branches. The idea is that we draw our life from Him. When we accept Jesus Christ, our Savior, as our Savior and Lord, we are no longer identified in who we are by our English given name or the job we have or who we're married to. We then become identified in our Creator Himself, in Christ Jesus. That's who we are. I am Brian Gunner, a child of the living God, and blah, 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 blah. But whatever the blah, blah, blah is, it pales in comparison to the reality of who I am. I am joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Notice what he says. He says that if we are authentic, if we are to truly turn out to be his children, he kindly gives us the idea of what we're to be. Notice there in verse 10, he says, if ye keep my commandments, ye abide, or you set up, or you remain in my love. The idea again is finding our identity in Christ and living in his word, allowing it to shape our worldview and not our emotions, not our feelings, not the way that we were raised, but the truth of God's word. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then he says in verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another. And you know what? We could wrap all that up over in Matthew chapter 22, verses 25 and following. Teacher, what is the greatest of laws? What's the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the greatest and most important of all commandments. The second is like unto this, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law, all the prophets, all 600 and something do's and don'ts, all of them are wrapped up in love God with all of who you are. That way none of us can love more or less. If we're all loving with who we are, then it's all on the same playing field, right? And then he says, love your neighbor as yourself. And so Jesus is telling them that you're to abide in my love. If you love me, abide in my love. And then it's kind of random, not to us who are looking back, but it might have to those that were looking forward as the apostles. He says, greater love hath no man than this, than for that man to lay down his life for his friends, plural. Isn't that awesome? Not just a friend, but for his friends. And then he goes on to say, no longer do I call you servant, but you are my friend. Hallelujah. Today I'm a friend of the Creator. We're going to say a little bit more about this. But and the Bible, you know, it likens our relationship, specifically the church, it likens our relationship with Christ Jesus as the bride and groom. You know, he is the bride, or he is the groom that's coming back. And so that as individuals, as a whole, we make up the bride. But also, individually, we're the bride of Christ. And you know, like in those magazines that you read and you fill out those questionnaires, even for marriage, I have a questionnaire that I've come up for my own just to kind of know where you're at when you're getting married or we're entering into it. And so today, as you profess your relationship with Jesus Christ, as you say that He is my Savior and I am His servant, we know He loves us. That's not the question today. The question is, do I, or how much do I love Him? So right now, in the name of Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray your mind focus on you and you alone as we look through these next previous things, okay? That's kind of been our jumping, diving board. First thing is this. How much do I love Jesus? Have you ever surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? Have you ever surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? And I kindly tried to define these so that we would all be on the same page. Look what it says. What is surrendering? What is being saved? It's the process of being forgiven of all your sins, taken eternal hell and its flames, are taken away by surrendering to the Lordship and salvation found only in Jesus Christ, who is God that came in human flesh, taking the penalty and the punishment for whosoever sins, anybody's, by suffering and dying on the cross, then rising on the third day, claimed eternal life for all who surrender to Him by faith alone. You say, Brian, what are you talking? I'm telling you this, that sometimes it's trying to make Christianity more streamlined and acceptable to society. We skip out on the divinity and the divineness of the gospel that we believe. Praise God, we believe that Jesus, the eternal part of the Godhead, came in the flesh by a virgin and lived 30 years sinlessly for the punishment, and He did it because He loved me to the obedience of the Father. Then He died on the cross and suffered the penalty for my sins. And 3 days later, He rose up on the third day. And praise God, before very long, He's coming back again. And those that are dead in Him will be brought back to life in a physical form. And then the rest of us will be caught up together with Him, there forever to be with Him based on His words. Hallelujah. That's what I believe as a Christian. It's not a set of morals. It's not simply a religion. But it is a change of life brought on by the one and only Jesus Christ, the Lord crucified, dead, buried, and risen. Listen, He is God. He is God. John 1:1-2, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And listen, all things were created by Him, and without Him, nothing was made. If there is no Jesus, then what you and I are and what we live on could never have been. And you know what else? If He was still dead, it would already be gone away too, because He is the one that sustains it all. Hey, He was confirmed by the Father and the Spirit. At the baptism at the Jordan, which said that he came up out of, that means He had to go down in it. He had to be immersed. He went down, but what did it say? This is my beloved Son. While the Spirit was descending, not as a dove, but in the form of a dove, He says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And the Bible says this, that not only did He come to die for the penalty of sin, but it says that all men have sinned. Meaning that every one of us, past, present, and future, have broken God's law. And if we needed an entertainer, God would have sent us an entertainer. If we needed an economist, somebody that was good with money, He'd have sent us an economist. If we would have needed a trainer, He'd have sent us a trainer. But praise God, we needed a Savior, and He sent us a Savior. Hallelujah. Let me ask you this. The most important thing you'll ever do is what you do with Jesus. Revelation chapter 22, verse 13 says, and anyone's name who is not found in the book of life, meaning the Lamb's book of life, will be cast into eternal hellfire. And I don't care what you've done, unless there's been a time in your life where you've cried out, dear Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. And from this moment on, if You'll save my life, I'll live it for You. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've never prayed something like that, then you're hell-bound and you need to get your heart right. The next thing is this. How much do I love Jesus? Well, how about words of affection? Words of affection. Outward expressions that export a pending that support. They expound upon the value that they have. A person's importance in your life, the value they bring to your life, and how bad your life would be without them. Time and time again in Scriptures, we are promoted and pushed and commanded to give praise and worship to our God. And praise and worship is when we get focused on Christ and Christ alone and begin to announce how great He is. Isaiah chapter 25, verse 1, Yahweh, or the King James says, Lord, You are God. I will exalt You. I will praise Your name, for You have accomplished wonders, plans formed long ago with perfect faithfulness. Let me ask you then, when's the last time that you've just focused and got God alone and basically said, it's just me and You, Lord, and I want to tell You a few things. I want to tell You how good You are. I want to tell You how holy You are. Jesus, I want to tell You how thankful You are. Look what it says, my God, You're my God. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You're my God. And I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to extol you. I'm fixing to make much of who you are. Notice what he says. You have accomplished wonders. What does he mean? He says, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the things you've done. I know you're the one that done them, but I want to tell you about them. I want to tell you. I want to tell you how bad it would be if you wasn't in my life. I'm going to tell you what. This week as I've studied, I've had to consider, and I don't think I'd want to live if Jesus wasn't in my life. I'm not talking about just being a preacher. I'm just talking about waking up in the morning and knowing Jesus wasn't on my side for that day. That's a scary thing. A scary thing. He says, I want to tell you about your faithfulness. Have you ever accepted Him as your Lord and Savior? How often do you just tell Him words of affection? Words of affirmation that you're good. And you know what? It ain't got to be a lot. Like John over in chapter 6, verse 68 and following. Jesus had said some hard things. And Jesus looked at him and said, are you going to leave also? And you know what John said? John says, well, where else are we going to go? You have the words of life. You ever told Jesus, said, they may, even though there is, may be other gods, which I know there's not, I still wouldn't want another one because you're the only one I need. You ever did that? You say, man, that's stupid. Hey, you know what? It ain't good when my daughter says, there's many daddies, but you're the best daddy. Huh? Have you ever accepted Him as Lord? How about those words of affection? I love you. I love you. I need you. And it's just wonderful having you in my life, Jesus. Try that right now. Just tell Jesus right now. Let's say, Jesus, it's wonderful having you in my life. Say that with me. Jesus, it's wonderful having you in my life. Didn't that just feel good saying it? I feel Holy Goosebumps run on me. And I know that's emotion, but still it's good to feel emotion, ain't it? Hey, what about personal? Number three. Personal and quality time. Personal and quality time. This is time spent in giving another person your undivided attention. Focus on being together and expressing affection and love by the investing of time with that person. Do you know what? As a human being, we were created to fellowship with God. I mean, you go all the way back, and I'm not going to read it over in Genesis chapter 3, but if you go all the way back, the Bible makes it seem that God Himself came down. And remember, everything was perfect then. There was no sin. But that God Himself came down into the garden and walked with Adam and Eve and fellowship with Adam and Eve. And notice this again. Let's go back to that scripture where He's talking about, if you love Me. Remember, He says, you ain't just a servant. You're not just creation. You're my friend. Ain't that what friends do? They go on walks together. They talk together. And you know what? Even though we're under the curse of sin, our purpose while we were created to fellowship with God has not changed. Listen over in Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. It says, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Rooted and built up in Him and establishing in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Walking with Him and telling Him, you're good. You're good. You remember last week we talked about how amazing it is that even our Creator would be mindful of an insignificant person as I, but yet not only does He hear my prayers, He commands me to pray and longs for me to pray. But what's even greater than that is me, we creation, oh wretched, sinful man. What does it say? He desires to spend time with me in the Spirit as He walked with them physically in the garden. He wants to walk with me and He wants to walk with you. So, 1 through 10, how are you doing at putting personal time in? How about the one before? How about those words of affirmation? What about surrendering your life to Jesus Christ? Because if you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, then the rest of these are mute. Okay? You don't have to take the quiz if you don't answer yes to number one, all right? But look at number four here. We've got the personal time and quality time, but what about the acts of service? Acts of service. First, service is doing something for your partner that you know they would appreciate, that they enjoy you doing, and perhaps it even relieves a burden off of them. Here's the good thing is that the Bible teaches us that every one of us has been called to serve. We don't even have to wonder about has God called us to service? Are we to be serving Jesus Christ? Romans chapter 12 verses 5 and 6 now says there are many varieties of gift, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of services, but the same Lord, and there are a variety of activities, but the same God who powers them all in every one. And in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 6, we're told that when Christ rose up from the grave, that He arose giving gifts to all men, or giving gifts to everyone who come to Him in salvation, who surrender to Him as Lord and Savior. You may be a teacher, you may be a deacon, you may be a prayer warrior. There's a lot of them. The Bible doesn't even list all the spiritual gifts. But the question is, how are you in showing your love through your service? The Bible says that over in Ephesians chapter 2, where it tells us that for by grace are ye saved by faith. There's nothing we can do to be saved. We are just saved by the grace of God. But then it goes on to say in Ephesians 2:10 that we have created in Christ Jesus unto good works, or unto acts of service. So today, let me ask you, you say you love Jesus, but what does your time of service say to Him? What does your words of affection, how about, are you truly certain of your salvation? Number five, how much do I love Jesus? What about giving Him gifts? How often do you just give Him gifts? Now, we're not talking about your spiritual gifts, because you're a part of the team. You're expected to do those things. That's a part of who you are. That's like tithing. Tithing is a part of, God says the tenth is mine. I mean, that's just bottom line. We don't have to quarrel about that. But what about those gifts? Giving Him gifts. This brings to mind one of the classic sayings, well, what do you give the guy who has everything? Amen? I mean, He is God. I mean, well, what are you giving? He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Well, the giving of gifts to Him is done a little bit differently, because listen to this, Matthew 25, verses 35 and following. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer Him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and gave you drink? And when did we see you as a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and we clothed you? And when did we see you sick and in prison and visit you? And then the King, Jesus, will answer, truly I say unto you, as you've done it to the least of one of these, you've done it as unto me. When's the last time you've helped somebody who couldn't help you back? You just did something for somebody, not expecting anything in return. You see, there's a promise when we give gifts to God. Remember, we studied it Wednesday night. Proverbs 19:17, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and He will repay them for their deed. Now, see, the difference, offering, again, that's of the Lord. It's His. That's a commandment. But then there's, or tithes, that's a commandment. But then there's the idea of offerings, the giving of above and beyond on that. So, have you ever surrendered your life? How much do you love Jesus? Not according to how you feel. Not according to how much you want to. Not according to how much you want other people to think you love Jesus. But authentically. Do you give Him words of affection? Do you spend personal and quality time with Him? Are you committed to acts of service? that He's called you to. Not a pastor, not a church, but Him. Do you give gifts? And then in some of the ones at number six, I'm going to say, what about that personal touch? The marriage books, they call it the physical touch. But see, we can't yet physically touch Jesus. We could have called it that spiritual touch. It's when an individual makes personal contact to another. I know you're probably thinking, preacher, you've lost your mind, physical contact. Listen to what John 1:1 says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, I know, and I pray you know this, that this is just a physical book. And in and of itself, it holds no power, or you can't quote a spell or anything like that. But in this book is held the revelation of God Himself, the truth that's in it. And outside of the person of the Holy Spirit living in me, this is the closest thing for this time that I'll ever get to laying my hands upon Jesus. Oh, but in the Spirit, when I open this book and I lay my hands on Him, almost I can picture when it says the beloved laid His head on the chest of Jesus Christ. I can picture just taking Him and pulling Him and holding Him tight. Literally, there's been times in my life where I've had to deal with anxiety and things like that, that I would take this book and I would hold it to my chest and I would pray, Lord, let Your truth grow so deep into my heart that it grabs hold, the roots grabs hold, and it can't help but provide it peace. But when I'm in this book, I am literally in contact with the Creator. Do you understand that? That when we crack this book, the knowledge of all knowledge, the King of all kings, is right there before us. We should be like over in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, where it said, and when Samuel was a child and ministered before the Lord with Eli, the word of the Lord was precious to them. Precious. When's the last time you've just took this book and thought, God, please, please never take it? Do you know that in other countries, literally, they tear pieces apart and swap it around like gold? And we treat it as a visor or something to keep the dashboard from cracking. The personal touch. And then I've not even mentioned prayer. But the Bible tells us this, that when we are in prayer, in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, it says that we have a high priest who has been through and has overcome every issue that we will face in life. But not only that, He is able to empathize with us in the midst of them. And because that is true in verse 16 of Hebrews 4, we are told to with confidence draw near to the throne of God. That personal touch. Draw near. Pick it up. Hold on to it. Love on it. Praise God. All I got in this life is this. Really and truly. Anything else can be taken away from me in a minute. But not this. Not Him. Not the truth that He's put in my heart. They'll never, never, never be able to take that away from me. And they'll never, never, never be able to take Him away from me. And because of that, God is good. God is good. Have you ever surrendered? How much do you love Jesus? Have you surrendered your life to Him? Do you speak to Him words of affection? Do you spend personal time? And usually that's quantity. What about acts of service? Do you serve? Do you give gifts? What about that personal touch where it's just you and Him? Remember the original passage going all the way back to John 15? When He defined how much He loved us, friend, greater love hath no man than this, than for a man to lay down his life for his friends. You see, the context became clear to them a few days later. I pray that today you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Because, see, I believe a lot of pew sitters, the devil is lying to them. Oh, you might be moral, and you might be good. A lot of people are moral. But have you truly fallen in love with Jesus? Have you recognized what He did for you? He suffered for my sins, a penalty I could not pay. He paid. I mean, look at the value and worth He placed upon your life. How much worth and value are we placing on His life today? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7, "Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner." To those of us that believe, He is precious. He is of highest status, highest honor, highest price. He is to be esteemed and cherished unlike anything else, because there is nothing like, or no one else like, Jesus. Honestly, it does scare me. Not that I could not be able to preach, and I did face that when I had the car accident. They thought that I had actually cut some of my vocal cords and were concerned. And that was a scary thought, Brother Darrell. But to wake up and to think that His presence is not in my life. To wake up and think that He has no more purpose for my life. That I would no longer be under His favor and under His blessing and under His protection and even under His punishment. Have you ever considered that? I don't think I'd want to wake up tomorrow if that was true. I don't. And folks, we need to get to the point that we realize how great a Savior we have. And I don't care what you do, and I'm thankful for all the work that you do, and all the giving that you do. But the one thing at the end of it all, when we stand before God, is what's going to matter is, do you love Jesus? Let me ask you this. How much would your daily life change if Jesus was taken away from it? That hurts, don't it? How much would your life change if they said, "No more Jesus"? But praise God, here's the truth. Nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll let Him today, He'll do even greater things, because you know why? Nobody will ever take Him out of your life. Glory, hallelujah. Never, never, never will I ever spend a day without His favor. As our piano player and our song director come this morning, precious He is to us. Now, if you were tallying up this sheet, you would have a yes and a 60%. But if you've got 60%, I ain't calling you a liar, but you getting close to liar territory, okay? But no matter what your paper says right now, what has the Spirit told you? Are you truly loving Him? Or have you just placed Him as a stamp on your life until you're going to need Him? Huh? Words of affection. "I'm a man, I don't do that." Some of the greatest men ever took time to give God words of affection. Personal and quality time. Yes, you have to make time for Him. He made time for us. He, right now, He's making time. If you'll just be willing to come and fall on the altar, He's there. If you'll just cry out to Him right there where you're at, He's ready. Acts of service. He's giving you a gift to serve as a part of the body for the benefit of yourself, of the church, and for His kingdom. Acts of giving. Maybe it would be monetary, but lots of times it's just loving others by serving others. And then last time is that personal touch. Taking time. What's Owen? I bet y'all heard praying through. You remember that? Knowing that you prayed through. The idea is knowing that you got a hold of heaven, or really heaven got a hold of you. Oh, praise the Lord today. It doesn't matter where you've wandered, because Jesus doesn't wander. Bible says there is no shadow of turning in Him today. And today, maybe you found yourself that you've wandered away, and that the expression of your of His love in your life isn't too vast. It's not much there. You know, maybe today you're right where you need to be, and you have a 59.99. Well, then, if that's the way, you need to come and praise God, because it said the Spirit enables us. So you need to come give Him praise for that. Maybe today you're lost and never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Can I tell you this? I can't give you a gift, but I can take you to a place where there's a gift that can never be refunded, took back, or whatever. The Bible tells us this, that the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. You can't give them back. He ain't going to take them back, and you can't give them back. Maybe today your marriage is in bad shape. Believe me, the devil's fighting. If he is, welcome to the company. But praise God, God is able. Maybe today you need to be baptized or follow through with believer's baptism. Some of you are here today, and it's time for you to join. You've been putting it off for a little bit. And that's one thing I can say about Sister Margaret. Praise God. Now, she was committed. She was not going to join Thomas Village Baptist Church. She wasn't until the Holy Spirit touched her and the love of church got greater than church hurt, and she became a member here. That's what's giving me hope for you. Yeah, you're the one I'm talking about. You know who you are. But whatever your need is today, nobody loves you like Jesus. And the next most important question is, how much do you love Him? Let's stand. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank You for this day. Thank You for the wisdom and understanding of Your Word, and asking that people be willing to move. In Jesus' name, amen. People are already coming to the altar today, but what does your life say about your love of Jesus Christ? You don't have to justify it to me. You don't have to justify it to your neighbor. But what about the Lord? What is He saying to you today? And I could have made this list long, long, long. I mean, there could have been a bunch of them on there. But see, all it really boils down to is I love Jesus. If I asked you today, if I said, do you love your spouse or do you love your children? And you said yes. And I said how? You would start telling me, I do this, I've done that, I do this, I've done that. What about with Jesus? Again, not to me. Do you love Jesus? I heard a lot of yeses. And I thank God for that. I don't believe anybody would say, I don't love Jesus. I don't think nobody would say that, but we let our life say it. We let the way that we live our life say it. But you know what? Every sin has been forgiven. It's already forgiven if you'll just admit it. Whatever that thing is you're toting around that you feel disqualifies you from service. Whatever that thing is that the devil throws back up in your face, you know what? It's forgiven. The only one that beats you up with it now is yourself and the enemy. So why don't you just go ahead and give it to Him and say, praise God, it's already under the blood. Whenever your old mind brings it back, and you know how it is, you get excited about the Lord for something, and then you did this, you did that. Oh, and this was after you even got saved. Who do you think you are? It's under the blood. Whatever your need is today. Jesus, thank You, Jesus. Thank You for my brothers. Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm thankful for their love for You and blessings that they never imagined they could have. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for your attentiveness. Also, before we close out, I just want to say thank you for everybody who does give to Thomas Village Baptist Church. If you notice, we have quit passing around the offering plates. We just feel that God's blessing so much that we don't need to poke it in your face. But don't forget that there it is out front there. Those of you that are giving online, thank you for that. Don't forget our app that you can get now, Thomas Village Baptist Church, either on Android or iPhone. You can just type the full name in there as well. And here's to those of you that's not been able to give, so what? We don't care. Keep coming. Keep listening. We like having you. Amen? But when you can, know that it is thankful. Anyone else before we close out? All right, I'm going to ask Brother John if he would to come and close us out in this morning's service. Brother John Franklin.
Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, Lord, here we are. We just humbly bow here before again, once you bow here before you, once you again, Father. Lord, you are worthy of all our praise and all. Lord, all our words of affirmation, Father, we thank you so much for your unconditional love. Thank you, Lord, for this blessed service that we've just had here this morning. I just ask your blessings here upon this entire congregation. Lord, keep us safe until we meet again. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.